Hey there, everybody. Welcome on into a very special Take Tuesday installment of the Locked On Patriots podcast. Mark Schofield back in the big chair. It is Tuesday. It is February 5th, 2019. It is parade day in Boston. And judging by some of the conversation I've seen already in the Locked On Patriots Slack channel, it seems like it's going to be a massive event. We've got people in the Slack channel basically saying they can't get on a train. They can't even get into work. They're just going to go home, work from home, because they can't get anywhere near Boston right now. So it seems like it's going to be crazy. What we're going to do today, we're doing Take Tuesday, not Take Thursday, not Tape Tuesday. It's a Take Tuesday. I probably screwed that up. Anyway, we're doing it in homage to our fearless leader of men, Bill Belichick. Why? What do we always say about Belichick? While the league zigs, he zags. While the league zags, he zigs. Well, I'm doing the same thing here today. Why? Because if you go on Twitter right now, basically anybody with access to the NFL Game Pass and a screen recorder is tweeting out clips, breaking down film of this Super Bowl. And so since everybody else is doing that, I'm going to go in the other direction. We're going to have some takes from you. We're going to talk about something I'm really excited about to put together as we look ahead to the draft. And then a little bit later in this week, we're going to have two odes. We're going to do our usual Tape Tuesday kind of stuff. We'll do it on Thursday. We're going to have two sorts of odes. Odes to players that are near and dear to our hearts here at Locked On Patriots. Tomorrow, we're going to do a special crossover show with Brad Motter of Locked On Rams. We're going to have sort of a Super Bowl recap crossover. So excited to do that as well. But before we dive into all the stuff we're going to talk about today, a reminder to follow me on Twitter, at Mark Schofield. Check out the work at places like InsideThePylon.com, Pro Football Weekly, The Score, Matt Waldman's Rookie Scouting Portfolio, Big Blue View, part of the SB Nation family of websites. Friends, as I've said, if there's an outlet covering football, chances are I'm doing some work for them. Let's get into it right now. And I want to start off with kind of some just basic Super Bowl Patriots kinds of facts, because there's a lot of stuff coming out about this game. Always boring. It wasn't aesthetically pleasing. It didn't do great numbers in terms of ratings. The Patriots are lucky. The Rams just kind of choked it away. Whatever. Wanted to kind of highlight some things. So I've pulled together some stats. A lot of these coming from Pat's Pulpit, at Pat's Pulpit on Twitter. For example, the first one, their managing editor, Rich Hill, at PP underscore Rich underscore Hill. Fewest playoff rushing yards allowed by a Super Bowl champion. 125, that's the 1985 Bears. 122, that's the 218 Patriots. 2018 Patriots. And 121, the 1986 Giants and the 2008 Steelers. And as Rich says, that's pretty good company. And again, it gets us to the point. Obviously, the divisional round game, that got out of hand quickly, so the Chargers were forced to become one-dimensional. You know, but Patriots then, they face a team of the Chiefs that obviously built around Mahomes, but they shut out the run game in all of their games, all of their playoff games. This defense got so much better over the course of the season. Obviously, a huge reason why they won. Also, from Rich, just a reminder that the Patriots beat the teams ranked number 3, number 2, and number 1 in DVOA throughout their playoff run. No lucky draws here. And again, that's exactly right. Look at who they had to beat. They had to beat the Chargers, the team that everybody thought was going to, you know, pull off the upset in the division around. Everybody sort of thought that, you know, it wasn't fair to the Chargers that they had to come east 2 weeks in a row, that they had a better record. This should have been a home game for them, and it's not fair, and they're just going to end the dynasty. No. And then they beat the team that was supposed to be taking the torch this year. You know, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead. And then they beat the Rams, who had the high scoring offense and, you know, the defensive line to destroy all worlds and stuff like that. No lucky draws. No. That wasn't an easy path to get to the Super Bowl, let alone win it. And the Patriots both got there and won it. Also from Pat's Pulpit. And this is a little bit of having some fun with this one. They put out a tweet, hashtag never forget. And it's a tweet from Sport at Sports R Philly from, you know, last year. Brady retirement rumors, Gronk retirement trade rumors, Deion Lewis to Tennessee, Malcolm Butler to Tennessee, Nate Solder to New York, Danny Amendola to Miami, Matt Patricia to Detroit. The Philadelphia Eagles ended the Patriots dynasty. You're welcome, NFL. Funny how that turned out. Steve Peoples, New Hampshire native who covers politics for the AP, but he's also a sports fan at SPPEOPLES on Twitter. Tom Brady has now led 10 drives in the fourth quarter or overtime of the Super Bowl to tie the game or take the lead. And if you want to take the guys who are second and third in that category, add together their drives in the fourth quarter to tie or take the lead, you get to five. Eli Manning has three. Joe Montana has two. So if you want to look at a quarterback that can come through in the clutch, 10 drives in the fourth quarter or overtime of the Super Bowl to tie the game or take the lead. Now, yes, Brady has played in a lot more Super Bowls than those gentlemen, but that's an eye-popping number. Also kind of eye-popping. This is from at I Am Slob. If Tom Brady plays throughout the 2021 season, in which he will be 44, and accomplishes his goal of playing up to 45, he won't be eligible for Hall of Fame induction until 2027. The year 2027 in the Chinese zodiac calendar is the year of the goat. Just saying. And now I love like the first response to that tweet, which is I thought I had free time. But that's kind of amazing. And so maybe Brady's looking at this and thinking, yeah, I'll hang into 45. So I go in the year of the goat. Would Tom Brady do something like that? Would he? Maybe. Let's keep rolling with some other stuff that I came across. This is from at Deep Threat, at D-E-E-P Threat, T-H-R-E-A-T. The Chiefs and the Rams are the two highest scoring teams in the highest scoring season in NFL history. Time it took them each to score a point versus the Patriots in the postseason. Chiefs, 32 minutes and 4 seconds. Rams, 42 minutes and 49 seconds. And as he points out, look, those two teams scored a combined 1,092 points this season and a combined 105 points when they played each other. Now, yes, the Chiefs ripped off a ton of points in the second half of that AFC Championship game, but Rams didn't. So I thought those were all some pretty kind of cool things to point out. I've got a couple of more here. For example, at TB underscore facts, Tom Brady facts. Tom Brady began his career by going 12-2 in the playoffs, and he went 6-6 over the next 12, and then he went 12-2 again. Also, something pointed out by Mr. Pink via the Locked On Patriots Slack channel. The Patriots were the only team this year to beat the MVP, Mahomes, who they beat twice, the Defensive Player of the Year, Aaron Donald, the Defensive Rookie of the Year, Darius Leonard, the Comeback Player of the Year, Andrew Luck, and the Coach of the Year in Matt Nagy. Again, pretty impressive run. Speaking of runs, Steve Sohani, who is at BookJailer on Twitter, he also put together some pretty incredible Tom Brady facts that I wanted to sort of put out here on this Take Tuesday. Brady won his first Super Bowl 1 year after Bill Clinton left office. Brady had already won three Super Bowls before YouTube and Reddit were even websites. 99.8% of current NFL players weren't in the league when Brady won his third Super Bowl. Not even his first, his third. He's played in 40 playoff games. 40 playoff games. That's the equivalent of 2.5 NFL regular seasons. Brady has 30 playoff wins and 6 Super Bowl wins. Montana has 16 playoff wins and 4 Super Bowl wins. Peyton Manning has 14 playoff wins and 2 Super Bowl wins. Therefore, Tom Brady has had as much playoff success as Joe Montana and Peyton Manning combined. The Brady-Belichick Patriots have more playoff wins in 17 seasons than the Browns, Cardinals, and Lions do in their 231 combined seasons of existence. In Super Bowl 36, Tom Brady played against the St. Louis Rams, including wide receiver Ricky Pearl. In Super Bowl 53, Tom Brady played against the Los Angeles Rams, who have Pearl's son, Austin Pearl, on the practice squad. Going 14-5 this year actually lowered Brady's career winning percentage. His regular season record is 207-60. His playoff record is 30-10. Total is 237-70. That's a 77.2 winning percentage. But this year, 14-5 is 74%. That's an amazing threat. And that's a bunch of facts about this Patriots team, Tom Brady, that I just thought were too good to not share with you. And so there you go. If anybody wants to come at you at the bar this weekend, at work, at the water cooler, wherever, and say, look, this team wasn't that good, just point him in the direction of the first 10 minutes of this pod and set him straight. Up next, we're going to talk some more takes. I got some questions and some thoughts to get to. And a little bit later, I'm going to sort of set the stage for how we're going to handle the rest of this week as well as draft season. I got something fun planned for all of you to be a part of as we get ready for the draft. That's all ahead on this Take Tuesday installment of Locked On Patriots. All right, let me talk to the guys for a second because I know what you've been doing since the playoffs started. You've been waking up, getting yourself ready for work, going to work, eating, going home, sleeping, and all those moments in between, you've been doing everything you can to consume every little bit of information about the NFL playoffs, hopefully by listening to every episode of Locked On Patriots. But I also know what you haven't been doing. You haven't been getting ready for Valentine's Day. So let me help you out. How about giving your wife or girlfriend something totally different, something romantic that celebrates the unique connection between you and her? I'm talking about a luxury gift service called Enclosed that delivers designer lingerie to your lady month after month. Enclosed is like a flower of the month or a beer of the month, but instead of flowers, she gets surprised with ultra-high-end lingerie, seriously high-end stuff, the kind of quality that will really impress her. Enclosed was designed specifically to help guys find gifts for their wives or girlfriends. Enclosed is all about helping you make her happy, and Enclosed is effortless. Every month, Enclosed sends your wife or girlfriend a custom curated lingerie gift selected just for her. And they back the gift up with a 100% size guarantee, so you never have to worry about fit. You can join more than 30,000 couples that love Enclosed, and I'll give you a little gift. Right now, you can get $35 off your Enclosed gift. Just go to enclosedlingerie.com, enter the code Patriots at checkout to get $35 off any Enclosed multi-month gift. Why not give your wife or girlfriend something that really reflects and deepens the connection between the two of you, something that you would never give your mother? That's enclosedlingerie.com with the code Patriots for $35 off the best gift ever. Mark Schofield back with you now on this Take Tuesday installment of the Locked On Patriots podcast. And I'm going to have two quick little takes to get out here. First is from Jason Stamps on Twitter at TallJ1994, T-A-L-J-A-Y, 1994. Amazing defensive game plan by the Pats. I think people are underselling how amazing the Rams defense played and the things they did schematically. Seemed to be a conservative game plan by the offense, but then when they needed him, Tom Brady put together the winning drive. And a number of fantastic points made there by Jason, and I thank him for the comment. And, you know, again, the first sentence, amazing defensive game plan by the Pats. I think that's exactly right. You know, the Patriots confused Goff. They pressured him. Pressure equals production. They had the hesitation moments, which they exploit the hesitation. They put together the perfect game plan against a younger quarterback who has his limitations from a mental standpoint. And I can't get enough of the idea that they had two defensive play calls for each play in the first half, because they were prepared for that aspect of what Sean McVay does as a play caller, where he gets the play call in quickly, they get to the line of scrimmage, and then until that helmet radio cuts off, he's telling Goff, okay, this is what it looks like they're doing. You know, he's in his ear until he can't be anymore. And then when that 15 seconds cut off, the Patriots then switched into their second defense. And so now it's putting it on a younger quarterback that might not be ready for that kind of adjustment with less than 15 seconds to go on the play clock. And that's why in the second half, I was confused when you saw the Rams huddling so much and huddling past that 15-second mark. It's because there was no point in trying to do things the way they did. And so Patriots, their defensive game plan, again, I thought it was phenomenal. As far as the Rams game plan, Jason's point is correct. Brady was confused too. They played a lot more zone. They really sort of switched it up. They were worried about the motion stuff that you saw from Julian Edelman, so they had their own answer for it, where they would slot and play zone. They would show man and play zone. The first pick was an example of that. Brady thought it was man, it was zone, and he made a mistake. You know, you can still confuse the GOAT. And so if this game ends up with me recording a, you know, melancholy and the infinite sadness installment of this podcast, we're talking about Wade Phillips and his game plan and how that should be in Canton. Luckily for us, it didn't end up that way. Was it a conservative game plan by the offense? I think in part they're worried about Donald. They're worried about Sue. They're trying to get the ball out of Brady's hands. It seemed like they really thought they could run the ball more, and there were times, second, third quarter, where it seemed like the run game wasn't getting anywhere. So it might have been a conservative game plan in spots, but they found their moment. Now, when they needed Brady to step up, they did. They put together the winning drive. Brady goes 4 for 4 on that drive, running two plays. That wheel to Gronk off of play action, Lynn Haas wide juke 3 times in a row. And again, Hoomst could have seen that coming. I'm just saying. Our boy John Limarakis, who we're going to get to in the third segment of the show, he teed up a nice victory lap for me on Twitter, and I do appreciate that. Sometimes I know what I'm talking about, and this shoulder is not going to pat itself. This back ain't going to pat itself. I'm just saying. Great question from at Jack Duffin. He is the co-host of, what are they calling it now? It's now the Paul Brown Daily Browns podcast. It used to be Browns in the UK. Either way, Paul, Jack, they're two great guys. Check out their pod. It's super fun. I was on their show recently, and I have to say, it's one of those podcasts, a lot of podcasts when you do them, it's a video podcast between the hosts, so you can see each other and read the cues and stuff like that, but yet you just do the audio, and this show is one of those examples. And near the end of it, my daughter comes bounded into the room. It was literally like that moment we all know where the Korean expert was on BBC and then the chaos ensues behind him where, you know, the daughter comes marching on in and then the kid in the little stroller type thing and then the poor mom is trying to, you know, wrangle the kids. It was kind of like that, but Jack and Paul were so cute with my daughter Simone. They were like dancing on the screen with her. And then since they're over in London and this was taking place in our bedroom, in the main bedroom, mommy and daddy's bedroom, where we have a, you know, print of the London skyline, Paul was kind enough to, you know, take the camera with him and walk out, you know, to the office balcony where he was working and show Simone basically the London skyline and a lot of the things that were in the print. And I thought it was adorable. It was one of those touching moments. And so, yeah, a lot there about Jack and Paul, but check them out at Jack Duffin, JACKDUFFIN on Twitter, and Paul Brown_UK. Check out their show. They do great work. And he asks, who's more of a GOAT in their field? Brady and quarterbacks, Belichick and head coaches, or Dante Scarnecchia in offensive line head coaches? Also, he wants to know if Paul Brown is on, if not Paul Brown, if Trey Flowers is on a plane to Cleveland yet. And yes, he might be on the way to Cleveland. You guys can have yet another pass rusher, you know, Myles Garrett and Trey Flowers that the Patriots would have to face next year. And I'm already shuddering at that thought. Yes, Trey Flowers is going to get paid. I'd like to see the Patriots do it, but we know how they do business. But who's more of a GOAT in their field? I think it's a fantastic question. I'm going to make the case for all three and then give you my pick. For Brady, it's some of the stuff we were just talking about. It's the fact that even on a season which people thought was a down year for him, even in a point in his career where maybe he's not the quarterback he used to be, when the New England Patriots needed a drive, he put together the drive, 4 for 4, getting them down to the goal line, and then Sony Michel punches it in. And his numbers this year, I did a piece over at Matt Waldman's rookie scouting portfolio, mattwaldmanrsp.com, made the case that, look, for all the things about his decline and everything, you look at his numbers this year as to last year where he was an MVP of the league, his numbers weren't that big of a drop-off. Like, touchdowns went from 32 to 28. Interceptions went from 8 to 11. And some of the other stats were, like, pretty close. I mean, I think his adjusted net yards per attempt dropped by, like, 0.5. But it's just because we saw video game numbers from guys like Mahomes and, yes, even Ryan Fitzpatrick, that his season seemed worse than it actually was. But 6 Super Bowl rings, 10, you know, drives in the fourth quarter overtime of a Super Bowl to tie or take the lead. Hard to argue against that. But the way to argue against that perhaps might be pointed at the guy who's been his head coach for these, who's put together game plans that are in the Hall of Fame, who is on what many people are calling like the worst roster of the Patriots era. He's got another Lombardi. You look at the job that he and Flores did against this Rams offense, such a high-scoring offense. You look at the different ways he's able to win Super Bowls, the different ways and means with which he reinvents a team, sometimes multiple times within a season, the different ways he approaches the game, how he's perhaps re-revolutionized the scouting approach after all his dad wrote the book on it. Hard to argue that there's a better head coach in history than Bill Belichick. But then you get to Dante Scarnecchia. And that's where I'm going to hang my hat. Because the job that Scarnecchia has done in this day and age, facing some of the most incredible pass rushers. I mean, this is an era of NFL football where pass rushers are just ferocious. And now it's not like, you know, you've got one guy on the other side and he's going to line up across from the left tackle. And so you need a plan. Now it's you're getting guys that could play on the edge lined up like a defensive tackle. The Chris Joneses, the Aaron Donalds. No, you're facing defenses that can get after you with just four, like the Chargers. But to put together the kind of run that this offensive line group had is just amazing. And so all three of them, I think, have a case for being the best at all time at what they do. And maybe it's recency bias. Maybe it's just the fact that I've been blown away from Scarnecchia this year and what he's meant to this team. I'll go with Scar. Imagine that. Up next, we're going to talk a little bit about the future. Not just of the New England Patriots, but of this podcast. Got some news there. That's ahead on this Take Tuesday installment of Locked On Patriots. Hey there, Pats fans. I'm excited to talk to you about our great friends over at Loci. You need a little extra swag for game day or the offseason or draft season or just to flash the fact that, look, you're a Patriots fan and they're, again, Super Bowl champions. Well, Loci has got your back with their brand new game day collection. If you haven't heard that name before, well, now you have. This company is amazing. I've been wearing their bracelets for a while now, and they're a bracelet with an amazing message, and it also supports incredible causes. The Loci bracelet comes in Patriots colors and holds water from Mount Everest, the highest point on Earth, and mud from the Dead Sea, the lowest point on Earth. The bracelet is a daily reminder to stay balanced during life's highs and lows. I wasn't a big bracelets guy before. I am now because of their bracelets. They've got an amazing message, and it personally helps keep me focused during both the good and the bad times in life. Since Loci is friends of the show, they're offering you an exclusive discount of 25% off all game day collection bracelets. This is the best deal. Just use the promo code PATRIOTS25 when checking out and boom, you can thank me later. Go to LOKAI.com and use the promo code PATRIOTS25 to take advantage of this amazing offer. Mark Schofield back with you now to close out this Take Tuesday installment of Locked On Patriots. And as I said, going to talk some news here, set some stuff up. Some more immediate future of the Locked On Patriots podcast. We're going to do five shows this week. Like I said, we've got a crossover show that's going to go up Wednesday. Thursday, we're going to do our tape stuff. We're going to do some odes. Kind of a good way to put the cap on this regular season and postseason. Doing what we do sometimes on Tape Tuesday with some odes to some players. Friday, we're going to do a little countdown. This is an idea that was proposed to me by Jeff Farrer of Inside the Pylon. Top 25 plays of the Super Bowl era for the New England Patriots, all six Super Bowls. So I'm going to count those down. It's going to be fun to put together, and I'm sure everybody's going to agree. But that's what we're going to do on Friday. And then we're going to four shows a week, Monday through Thursday, for the rest of February. Because, look, Papa Bear needs some time, okay? Papa Bear's going to get himself a taste. You know, going to sit here for a minute, think some things through. Papa Bear's going to get a taste. Papa Bear needs some time. But then when we get back into March, we're going, you know, full bore, five shows a week, all the way through the draft. And then for the week after the draft, five shows after that. And then Papa Bear will slow things down again. Look, we get it. Football, it's, you know, 52 weeks a year, 365. We get it. But sometimes, you know, you need to recharge the batteries a bit. Look, this show is dropping later than my shows usually do because after that Super Bowl and everything else, look, I basically just shut it down on Monday. I was just like, look, I can't even deal. Partly because for those of you that do expose yourself to the absolute hive of scum and villainy that Twitter can be, football Twitter on Monday was just an absolute nightmare. And I don't know if it was people seeing that game and were just angry. I don't know if people saw that NFL 100 commercial and were like, I want to bring that to the timeline. I don't know what it was, but people on football Twitter were just throwing haymakers at each other. It was just a free-for-all. It was like the fight scene in Anchorman. It was just a vicious cockfight. And so I was just like, look, y'all can have fun with that. I'm going to lay down. I'm going to read. Michael Beschloss, Presidents at War, by the way. I'm working my way through that book right now. Fantastic book. Check that out. So anyway, that's kind of the structure of this week and the next couple of months, which gets us into this. And this is what I kind of want to show, close down the show with. I got a John Lamoracas, who I mentioned easier, his take, he tweeted that to me yesterday. Next year's roster turnover is going to be rough. It's a lot easier to see your team win. Excuse me. It's a lot easier to see your team struggle a year after Super Bowl win. Next year might, and I stressed, might be a slight step back. And I'm okay with that. The draft is one of my favorite things on to YouTube scouting season. And I can kind of understand where John's coming from. Look, we've got some issues that are looming, the Gronkowski retirement or not, or whether we want to sort of address that and get a tight end anyway in what might be a good tight end class. What do they do with Trent Brown, Trey Flowers? So we might need another offensive lineman, perhaps. You could probably slide Isaiah Wynn in, but you still probably want to address offensive line maybe on day two, day three, if you do lose Trent Brown. If you lose Trey Flowers, yeah, you've got some guys, Wise and Rivers, but you might want to address that position as well. You know, Patrick Chung just got hurt. Devin McCourty's hinting at retirement. You might want to think safety and what might be shaping up to be a good safety class. And then, of course, you all know where my heart's at, quarterback. It's always fun to talk about draft. We've got a ton of prospects at all these positions that might be positions of need for the Patriots. And that's where I want to drop something fun on you guys, because as John sort of alluded to, it's scouting season. And I think one of the things that I've learned doing this and doing things like the Inside the Pylon Draft Guide is part of the fun of scouting, and a great way to learn about it is making it a collaborative effort. You have a bunch of people, you watch a bunch of players, and then you talk about them. You work through, you know, what they do well, what they don't do so well. And if we're going to do it right, we're going to be focusing on what they do well. Hashtag Patriots, hashtag Super Bowl champs. And then you decide, do they fit into what the Patriots do? Do they fit into what our team does? And so here is what I am proposing to do throughout draft season. Over at the Locked On Patriots Slack channel, we're going to have watch lists. We're going to watch these players, and we're going to talk about them in the Locked On Patriots Slack channel. I want to work through some tape with you guys. And so what I'm going to announce today is, you know, that project, first of all, that, you know, we're going to watch some players together. We'll all do some homework. We'll get together. We'll show some video clips, share some stuff around, and talk about players and whether they fit. We'll do that over the Locked On Patriots Slack channel. Again, some more incentive. If that sounds like something you'd like to be a part of, hit me up for an invite at Mark Schofield on Twitter, mark.schofield at insidethepylon.com. I'll get you a Slack channel invite. We can watch some players. I'll find some ways to get you guys taped. There are people that do cut-ups and stuff like that. I'll point you guys all in the right direction. And I'm going to drop right now our first, there might be some additions, our first positional group watch list for the 2019 NFL Draft for the New England Patriots, and that is tight end. Why? I felt like it. Why reason two? Patriots might need one. Why reason three? It's a good tight end class. It's a very good tight end class. Ooh, I like tight ends too. So here's your list, friends. And we can decide at some point. There's a guy I want to watch first, but his tape might be the hardest to get for everybody else. Papa Bear has the hookup. I'm just saying. So we'll see who we're going to watch first. But here's your list. Maybe we can debate either here on the Locked On Patriots Slack channel or Twitter or wherever who we want to like break down first. And I'm thinking like a week or two down the road, we can carve out a time, whether it's during the day, at night, whatever, spend like an hour, talk about the player on the Locked On Patriots Slack channel. And hey, that makes some free and easy content for me too, because then I can take that and just create a podcast around it. So the people that didn't partake but still want to learn about the player, they have the access to our minds. How about that? Anyway, here's your tight end watch list. Noah Fant, Iowa. TJ Hawkinson, Iowa. The Iowa tight ends are great. They're so much fun. Irv Smith Jr. from Alabama. Dawson Knox from Ole Miss. Isaac Nauta from Georgia. Fabian Moreau from LSU. And Dax Raymond, the kid I like, from Utah State. So there you go, friends. There's your initial tight end watch list here at our collective Locked On Patriots scouting project. At some point, we can decide on who we want to watch first, set up a time. We'll get together in the Locked On Patriots Slack channel. We'll have a few laughs, watch some film together. Kind of what I'm thinking is we can all sort of watch them. Maybe if people identify a couple of clips they like, they can send them to me or give me a timestamp or something on where you're watching them via YouTube. And I can cut together some clips and put them together either in a Twitter thread or something where we can all sort of work off the same stuff. So it should be fun. Maybe it crashes and burns and we do it once and we realize this is dumb. But I think it'll be fun. I hope you think it'll be fun. And it's a way to sort of get excited about the draft and do it together and learn from each other. And so I'm excited about doing that and sharing some of the, you know, my thoughts with you and your thoughts with me and learning from each other. I think it'll be fun. Or it could be completely boring. Either way, we'll give it a shot. That will do it for today. For those of you who are on your way to the parade, at the parade, coming home for the parade, I hope it was a blast. I hope you loved it. Weather seems to be nice up there. Nobody throw a beer at people. You can throw it at your friends. Don't throw a beer at Edelman or something. We don't want another Alex Cora repeat, okay? But have some fun at the parade. Do so responsibly. Have a blast. I'll be back tomorrow with a crossover. Until then, keep it locked right here to me, Mark Scofield, and Locked On Patriots.